All right. Today I'd like to show you one of the most effective and radical strategies for defeating an enemy and changing a world. I guess you can say this strategy is probably more effective and longer lasting than any other strategy for defeating an enemy and changing the world. And you know, we're not going to go to some military strategy document. We're not even going to go back to the book of Joshua and see this brilliant military man, Joshua. I want us to go to a very common passage of scripture to see the beginnings of this strategy. So go with me to Luke chapter 2 in the Bible. Anybody know what's in Luke chapter 2? It's the birth of Jesus. And that's good news. So we're going to look at the Christmas story and the events surrounding that today. So let's go to Lord in prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you for this wonderful strategy that you set forth to change the world. It's quite an amazing strategy, and only you can think of it. So help us to present that clearly, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. So right there, you see the beginning shots, or if you like military history, the beginning salvo in God's strategy to defeat the enemy and to win the world. And it all began. Now, this is profound. God's strategy to defeat the enemy and change the world began in a stable where a little baby was placed. He was born and placed in a manger. That's the brilliance of God's strategy. The more I thought about that, the more powerful it became. What stands out about this strategy is so radically different than anything that you or I would come up with. I mean, if we're going to develop a strategy to defeat an enemy, what would we come up with? Where would we go? Well, we'd probably read some strategy magazines or some self-help books, or we could find out who's the strongest or who's the smartest or who's the most educated. And you know what? God ignored every little bit of that. God started with a little baby born to a working class couple from an obscure village and placed that baby in a place that was despised by the majority of the locals. The baby was born in the Jewish rites, and the elite religious Jews had a very dim view of everybody who watched over sheep. And you know, the Romans and the Egyptians didn't think much more highly of them. Shepherds were pretty much despised. I guess it's probably because the shepherds smelt so bad when they walked into town. But God's opening move for winning a world was to put his son Jesus where the animals lived, to live out his very first night on earth amongst the animals. Why would God do that? Why would, just think about that. This just bumfuzzles my mind. Why would God start his redemption of mankind and place him amongst the animals? The only thing I can think of, and listen to this, God has very little use for an elitist mentality. And as far as the military prowess of the day, God knew a better way, and it began in a poor, chaotic, and humble place. I say chaotic because we know that Joseph and Mary were on their way to Joseph's hometown, which was Bethlehem, to be registered for a census. And the crowds were all traveling around, and the crowds were so large that Joseph could not even find a place for his very pregnant wife to rest and spend the night. And as it were, not only was he looking for a place for her to rest, but it is there where Jesus was going to be born. Joseph did the best that he could. And you know what? It just seems like, wow, this is a dirty place for a baby to be born. But I think God knew exactly what he was doing. He knew exactly what he was doing. Have you ever thought about it? And on that night, in a stable, the long-awaited Jewish Messiah and our Savior was born. In probably what would be the most humble of places. Think about it. The strategy that's going to revolutionize the world began in one of the most humbling places. Everything that was important to mankind was sidestepped by God himself. All the wisdom, all the might, all the strength, all the accomplishments, all the education was wiped away when God began his plan. And the Apostle Paul gives us some insight into why maybe God did this. And we'll find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. Paul says, "For consider your callings, brethren, not many of you were wise according to the worldly standards. Not many were powerful, not many were of noble birth, but God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are." And every time I read that passage of Scripture, it gives me hope. Because I wouldn't be considered from noble birth. That's absolutely not being a Tennessee hillbilly that I'm proud of. And you know what? I'm not powerful. And you know what? When I read this, it really encourages me that God uses everyday normal people like you and me to do his work. What a brilliant strategy. God used the things that were common and rejected to overcome the things that were highly esteemed. What can we learn from this? Well, firstly, if God used that kind of strategy, don't you think we should use that kind of strategy? If God exalted the humble, don't you think we should do the same? I think so. But there's something else about this story that made me scratch my head. And I've done a lot of reading about this, and this is the best that I could come up with. The coming of the Jewish Messiah was a well-known prophecy in the Old Testament. You could even see the discussions through the Gospels. People were expecting a Messiah to come. Isaiah told us that Messiah would be born to a virgin, and Micah told us that it would happen in Bethlehem. Now, if this happened in our day, I'm sure the reporters would have got a hold of it, and CNN would have been there with their cameras. They would be following every pregnant lady into Bethlehem to get a video of this baby being born, probably. So here's my question. Where were the religious Jews who were supposed to know? Where were they? It was common knowledge that Messiah would come, and you could find that through the Gospels, but where were the Jewish scholars who should have known and should have been expecting the coming of Messiah? Where were they? My guess is that the intellectuals were focused on something totally different. You see, the Romans that were in power at that time, and they were tyrants, and the Jews hated the Romans. There had been skirmishes and unrest and riots and revolts all over the place. And I'm sure that all this political intrigue was dominating everybody's thinking. I mean, the Roman Caesar was in power, but he had his puppets in the Herods. And you know, Herod was a Jewish king. And the Jewish king that was in power at the time that Jesus was born was a real piece of work. Let me read a description to you. Herod the Great was coming to the end of a long career that was bloody and paranoid, even by the standards of Hellenistic monarchs. He ruled through tactics of mass terror and widespread surveillance that sometimes sound like a foretaste of the Stalin years. Herod had killed multiple members of his own family, and in the year up to the birth of Jesus, was in the process of trying and executing his son for alleged treason. And this was the guy who was the king when Jesus was born. He also systematically wiped out all male claimants for his throne, no matter how violent. Palace intrigues need not have got any wider public impact, but Herod's growing paranoia was becoming a scandal among the other Jews. So this guy, Herod, I think everybody was focusing on the Romans and on Herod at that time. Even the Jewish scholars were focusing on the political situation of the day. And because they were focused on that, they missed the most important event in world history. So what can we learn from that? Are you getting my idea? It's better to know what God says and what He has promised than it is to be involved in the political skirmishes of our day. I want everybody to take mind of this. It's better to know what God says and what He has promised than it is to be involved in the political skirmishes of the day. That's the way it was then, and that's the way it is now. Political skirmishes come and go, and they change with the government. Like changing a pair of socks recently. But listen, God's word never changes. Everybody agree with that? So as believers and followers of Jesus, where should our focus be? Somebody tell me. His word. His word. But there was something that happened just after Jesus was born that could have been a problem in God's great plan. Do you remember the wise men from the East? And we've seen, you know, the nativity pageants and all those things. These wise men, these guys were anticipating something major to happen. And for whatever reason, they knew the Jewish scriptures and they were ready. Not the Jews, but the Orientals from the East were anticipating something was going to happen. When the star of Christmas showed up, they knew that they wanted to see this great event, so they had to get started, and they followed it. And they were a long way away, and it took up to 2 years for them to get to Jerusalem. Finally, They show up and they figure, well, at least the king would know where this guy was, so they go and talk to Herod. Herod didn't know. He tells his wise men, well, go find out what the scriptures say. Funny thing. Why did they have to start searching the scriptures? Why didn't they know the scriptures? These guys were the ones who were supposed to know the scriptures. When they found out what was supposed to happen, that there was a king supposed to be born in Bethlehem, they come back and told Herod, and Herod told the wise men, listen, I want you to go down to Bethlehem, find the child, come back and tell me so I can also go and worship him. Yeah, right. You remember his paranoia? We know what Herod would do. But God, in his wisdom, he just very quietly warns the wise men and they go a different way. And Herod gets so angry. Remember, he was paranoid? He realized that he had been had. And the next thing you know, he is making a proclamation that every Jewish baby in Bethlehem from 2 years down, the little boys were to die. Oh no, Herod's going to kill Jesus. Well, what did God do? Did he send in the cavalry? Did he send in somebody to destroy Herod? He simply sent a messenger and told Joseph, Joseph, go to Egypt because Herod wants to kill your son. And Joseph, being a godly man, obeyed. No, God didn't do some big splash-bang thing. He didn't bring in the army. He just sent his messenger. And Joseph obeyed. And Jesus was saved. What can we learn from that? What can we learn? Let me tell you what we can learn. God will look after his own. God is not surprised. He doesn't get in a hurry. He knows exactly what to do. Now let's make this real. Anybody get really anxious about what's going on in the world? Anybody do that? There's a few of us around. I've started deleting things off my computer so I don't have to keep up with all of it. But a lot of us get anxious about what's going on in the world. Listen, folks, it's the same today as it was then. God's not surprised. He knows exactly what to do. He's not frightened at all. Things are going according to his plan. And when God wants to look after us, he will look after us. Do you believe that? So when we talk about this peace on earth that the angels talked about when Jesus came. Folks, that is our heritage as believers, to have peace within our lives. And we're not going to have that peace when we're tied up with everything going on in the world. Amen? So let's be cautious. Here's something else. If we'll just learn to trust God, he'll take care of us. Now, here's a big question. Will you trust him? Will we? I'm not going to say you. Will we? Me too? Will we trust him? Well, because of God's wisdom and Joseph's obedience, God's worldwide plan was saved. Just a simple word, an obedient follower. Well, Herod eventually died. And then God sent another message to Joseph and said, the one who sought the baby's life, he is dead now. You can go back. Do you see the simplicity of that? When God does stuff, folks, it's not all that complicated. But the most difficult thing for living in any time is trusting and believing what God said. Joseph learned that. Interesting story. So keep this in mind. God's worldwide strategy for defeating the enemy and winning the world began in the most humble of places. And little changed with his strategy. So let's just review real quickly what we have learned from the Christmas story. First, God has a magnificent strategy for world change. Everybody agree with that? Everybody know what his strategy is? Wrapped up in one word. Anybody want to guess? Jesus. Secondly, God has very little use for human power or intelligence. He more often than not will use the humble and the rejected to do what he wants to do. Thirdly, it's better to know God's word and his promises than to be involved in the ever-changing political skirmishes of the day. I think all of us need to learn from that. Everybody agree with me? The Jews would have been far better off just to be aware of God's promises. And fourthly, God is always in control of what is happening. He is never surprised. He is never in a hurry. He just needs to be trusted and obeyed. One thing about God's plan, it was radical. It was thinking outside of the box. It did not depend on human strength or human wisdom. It didn't depend on human might. It depended on obedience to what he says. It's still the same today. He still wants to change the world. And he's going to use people who are humble and people who are obedient followers of him. Let me share with you the quote that got me thinking about this. And you can almost guess where it's from. It's A.W. Tozer, one of my favorite authors. He says, if man had his way, the plan of redemption would be an endless and bloody conflict. If God left it up to us, we'd make a mess of it. Amen? In reality, salvation was bought not by Jesus' fist, but by his nail-pierced hands. Not by muscle, but by love. Not by vengeance, but by forgiveness. Not by force, but by sacrifice. Jesus Christ, our Lord, surrendered in order that he may win. He destroyed his enemies by dying for them, and he conquered death by allowing death to conquer him. So everything that we think of, get stronger, get smarter, get more powerful, get more people, all these things that we as humans try to do to get done what we want to do, Jesus pushed it all aside. And he said, it's not by might or strength, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. We're coming to the end of the year. And as we move into next year, we need to get really, really serious about fellowship with God, learning what he wants us to do, and then doing it. And just looking at the Christmas story, that has proven that to us. So folks, let's trust him, not us. Amen. I'd like to invite you to be here on Sunday, Christmas Eve. We're going to finish up this little journey down into the Christmas story. And there's some particular things about Jesus that I want us to look at on that day. So folks, during the new year, let's get serious about knowing God and what he wants. Everybody agree? Please stand. Father, as we look back at the Christmas story, there's so many things that we can so easily just move over and not even see. Yes, the political situation during the birth of Jesus was horrendous. It was horrible. It was terrible. And most of the intellectual or educated Jews were focusing on the political scene. But you circumvented the political scene. And you sent your son to be born to a working class couple that were not even married. And you arranged it for your son to be laid in a manger, a place that was designed to feed animals. The most humble of places. But Father, we know that you hold humility to be highly esteemed. You will exalt those who are humble, and you will push away those who are proud. May we cast our vote for the humble. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Have a great week. We'll see you on Christmas Eve.